Welcome to The Crossing, the sermon podcast from Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us, and we hope this week's episode gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our other Crossing podcast, Tower Talks, where you can find untold stories from cathedral docents, volunteers, staff, and artists who have each helped make the cathedral into the national treasure we all love. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
O Lord, uphold thou me, that I may uplift thee. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, I can't believe it, but Lent is almost here. I don't know about you, but to me it feels like Christmas was just yesterday. But in truth, Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, is only 10 days away. And our reading from Matthew this morning is a lesson that points us towards Lent. In a sense, a lesson preparing us for Lent. This lesson from Matthew is part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus lays out for the crowds what God values, what God demands of us, and what God's kingdom looks like. If you were listening this morning, then you know it's a tough passage. So let's look at it more closely. You've been told that murder is wrong, Jesus says. You've been told that adultery is wrong. God told Moses as much, and Moses made murder and adultery two of the Ten Commandments. But, Jesus says, Moses didn't go far enough. Not only is it wrong to murder a brother or sister, it is just as wrong to be angry with them, to insult them, to belittle them. Not only is it wrong to commit adultery, it is equally as wrong to have lust in your heart. Further, Jesus goes on to say, you've been told that a man can divorce his wife on a whim because she is his property, but she is not someone's property. She is not an object to be owned. She is a beloved child of God, and to treat her as anything else is to commit adultery and violate the sanctity of marriage. Finally, Jesus says, you have been told you should never swear a false oath in God's name. But I tell you, you shouldn't use God's name to swear anything. Rather, you should be a person of integrity where a simple yes or no is sufficient. A person whose word is their bond. What Jesus is telling the crowds this morning is that the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, it is not enough to avoid external wrongs of murder or adultery or divorce or making false oaths. The kingdom demands that we purge ourselves of internal wrongs, anger, lust, selfishness, pride, arrogance, that we must purge our hearts of those things. In the kingdom of God, not only must our actions change, but our hearts must change as well. Not only must our actions change, but our hearts must change as well. That's a tall order. Jesus is asking a lot of us. Don't ever let anyone tell you that Christianity is a comfortable religion or an easy one. It isn't. For those of us who would follow Jesus, the Christian faith makes demands on us that seem almost impossible. And confronting these demands is what Jesus means when he says that we must pick up our crosses and follow him. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, when Jesus bids a man come and follow him, he bids him to come and die. Friends, this means that the only way to change our hearts is to die to self. The only way to save our lives is to lose them in Christ. The only way to choose life, as Moses commands us today in Deuteronomy, is to give our lives away. The Christian faith is not about making God a part of our life. It's about making our lives a part of God. Some time ago, there was a t-shirt going around that I thought was just perfect. Now, I'm not much of a t-shirt guy, especially at my age, but I wanted one of these. It was a religious t-shirt, but it didn't say Jesus Saves or John 3:16. It simply said in great big letters, Christian under construction. I think that's perfect. For me, that says it all. For me, that's who I am. I am a Christian under construction. I imagine that many of you are as well. What Jesus teaches us, what Jesus asks of us, is difficult. Changing our behavior, much less our hearts, is the work of a lifetime, and I know that I am far from being the person God wants me to be. When I read our lesson for today, when I hear what Jesus commands, the best I can say, and perhaps you feel this way, is that I am a work in progress. I'm a Christian under construction. During my 16 wonderful years at my parish in Richmond, we were always very proud of the fact that every week we hosted more than 12 different AA, NA, or Al-Anon meetings in the basement of the church. If you don't know much about these groups, Alcoholics Anonymous and the various programs that grew out of AA are absolutely incredible. On many an occasion, I have been blessed to attend an AA or NA meeting in support of a friend, and each time I've gone, it's been clear to me that these people meeting in the basement were better at being the church than we were sitting in the pews upstairs. My favorite writer of all time, Frederick Buechner, once said this about Alcoholics Anonymous. AA is the name of a group of men and women who acknowledge that addiction to alcohol is ruining their lives. Their purpose in coming together is to give it up and help others do the same. They realize they can't pull this off by themselves. They believe they need each other, and they believe they need God. The ones who aren't so sure about God speak instead of their higher power. When they first start talking at a meeting, they introduce themselves by saying, "I'm John, an alcoholic." "I'm Mary, I'm an alcoholic." To which the rest of the group answers each time in unison, "Hi, John. Hi, Mary." They are apt to end with the Lord's Prayer or the Serenity Prayer. Apart from that, they have no ritual. They have no hierarchy. They have no dues or budget. They don't advertise or proselytize. Nobody lectures them, and they do not lecture each other. They simply tell their own stories with candor that anonymity makes possible. They tell where they went wrong and how day by day they are trying to go right. They tell where they find the strength and understanding and hope to keep trying. Sometimes one of them will take special responsibility for another to be available at any hour of the day or night if the need arises. There's not much more to it than that, and it seems to be enough. Healing happens. Miracles are made. End quote. Isn't that what the church is supposed to be? Sinners Anonymous, the place where Christians under construction gather to support each other, to keep each other honest, the place where we admit that we are powerless over sin, that we can't make it on our own, that we need God, and that we need each other. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it, is the way St. Paul put it. Speaking for all of us, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. I resemble that remark. I don't know how popular it would be, but maybe on Sunday morning before someone reads a lesson or preaches a sermon or leads a prayer, rather than saying a reading from the book of Deuteronomy or let us pray, we ought to start with, "Hi, I'm Randy and I'm a sinner," and everyone would say, "Hi." Let's try that again. "Hi, I'm Randy and I'm a sinner."
"Hi."
Doesn't that just feel good? I mean, let's face it, when Jesus says that we must change our hearts as well as our actions, I must admit that I am no more capable of doing that on my own than the alcoholic is capable of giving up the bottle all by himself. AA teaches that the first step to sobriety is for the alcoholic to admit that they are powerless over alcohol. As we head into Lent, perhaps we ought to admit that we are powerless over sin. And our only hope is to turn our lives over to God. Because we can't let go of any of our anger or our lust or our pride or our greed or you name it without God. We can't grow without God's grace. And we need to be in community with others who are just like us and who hold us accountable. Friends, the journey of faith is the journey of realizing that because we are sinners, no matter how hard we try, we cannot save ourselves. And just the way the alcoholic will never not be an alcoholic, we will never not be sinners. But more importantly, the journey of faith is learning to trust in God's power to save us and to place our lives in God's hands. Therefore, brothers and sisters and siblings, when you confess your sins in just a few minutes, be honest with yourself and about who and what you are, and know that in spite of your sins, you are loved and you are forgiven. When you pass the peace with the person sitting next to you, know that it is okay for you to admit that you are a Christian under construction. And when you approach God's table today, reaching with your hands to receive the body and blood, the bread and wine, know that God's power is working in you, doing infinitely more than you can ask or imagine. Amen.